Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Turn to the song, to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Song of Songs. Has nothing to do with Valentine's Day. The Song of Solomon on chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this love letter that you left us. Lord, help us to see thy beauty, to love you, Lord, and forgive us our trespasses. I pray you help me, Father, to preach thy word. I pray that you open up minds and hearts, that you speak to every heart that's here. And above all things, Father, I pray that you will be glorified, as you always should. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay, first thing, turn off all your cell phones and microphones. We all forget. I forget too. You know, Brother Kincaid gave me a book just recently of a famous author, a man who specializes in prophecy. And when I got saved, I love prophecy. And of course, reading the Bible and reading everything else that I was getting a hold of, I read all his books. And I would many times get a book at 10 o'clock at night, and I would stay up till 4 in the morning till I'd finish it. I love prophecy, and he just gave me his latest one. I hadn't read anything from him in a long time, and I know I'm going to learn quite a bit and to refresh my memory, and also I know that he's going to enlighten me with a lot of other things. But as I was reading, and I came to the second chapter, and I didn't read much, but I came to the second chapter of that book, and he said there's three important things, or three important signs in this life that show that we have a God that's a supernatural God. He says, first of all, is the creation. The second is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third is the scriptures. And he went on, and I, you know, read a little bit on it, but there was a statement he made about creation that I disagreed with him, and maybe it's because I'm just too critical, or I'm just not understanding, or maybe he just phrased it wrong. But he made a statement on chapter 2 of that book. He said that creation is limited in what he can tell us about God. He said he does not reveal his love or his forgiveness. And maybe he was thinking, well, you see, the creation really doesn't shout out and doesn't preach the gospel. The trees don't tell you Jesus loves you. The winds doesn't blow the gospel and so many other things, but I disagree with him on that part. And maybe, like I said, it's just a misunderstanding. Maybe I'm just making too much out of it, but actually my sermon was going to be on creation. And the thing is that I remember immediately when I read that, I said, well, you know, there is some verses that say that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. And I looked it up and I found it in several different places. But see, he specializes in prophecy, and I can understand that. But you know, beloved, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we have to also learn not only from prophecy and a lot of other things, but this is, for example, this book of the Song of Solomon is something that we normally don't touch. Maybe it's because we don't comprehend it, we don't understand it. It has a lot about love, and I certainly couldn't handle it. But Jesus says, I am the rose of Sharon. And you know, one of the things that I see in the scriptures is that God will manifest himself in so many ways. He did everything. Everything that you see in the outdoors, it wasn't Mother Nature. It just didn't happen by circumstance. Everything was made by God. The Bible says that all things were made by him and for him. So everything that he made is pointed towards God. Everything shows something about God. And as we go through the different things in nature, we see the sun. I looked up every little thing of nature, and I just copied down some of them. But I see the sun, and I know that the sun was made by God. And I found a verse in the scriptures in Psalm 89. He says, He is the sun. Yeah. He is the sun of righteousness. It also tells me that in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 1, that when they saw Him, His face shined with the strength of the sun. You read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, it also tells you a description of the person that was there. And he says again, his face was like the sun. So we know that the sun represents God. He is the sun. We see now what comes out of the sun is the light. Jesus says, I am the light. In Him there is no darkness at all. So we see that another big part of nature is water, where He is the water of life. He is the that's what you see also in His throne, the water, that river that flows to the throne of God. The water of life is there. We see also the wind, the mighty rushing wind that came in at Pentecost. That was God. That was the Holy Spirit. We see the trees. And the trees is the Bible said that He is the tree of life. We see the tree of life in the beginning. We see it at the end of the book in Revelation. We see it also at the throne of God. There is the tree of life. So He is that tree. And what comes out of that tree but the branches? The Bible says in Zechariah 3, He is the branch. Behold, my servant, the branch. So everything that you see, beloved, everything points to Jesus. You see what comes after the branches, the roots. He is the root of Jesse, the bright and morning star. And then, of course, we see the rock. The rocks, He is the rock. In Matthew 16, we see where Jesus tells Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Of course, we don't see Jesus pointing at him. But the thing is that the scripture points at him many, many times. It tells you in the Old Testament, the New Testament, even the Apostle Paul says that rock that followed them in the wilderness, that was Christ. The water that came from that rock, that was Christ. So we see that He is the rock. But of course, the religion that points out and says, no, that rock was Peter, they changed their Bible. I don't know if you ever noticed or looked at their Bible, but I went and looked at the latest ones a couple of years ago, and I noticed that now it doesn't say like it used to say, because I used to read it. And it used to say, just like my King James Bible, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. But now he says, Peter, you are the rock. They just forgot to change all the other evidence. It's just like that thief one time, one morning, that 5 o'clock in the morning, they gave me a call for a burglar in action. And I arrive with another policeman, and we're going around the building, and the burglar bumps right into us. And we ask, well, what are you doing? He says, nothing. He pled not guilty, but yet he had a radio that belonged to a house. He had his car where he was running to. He had merchandise that belonged to the house. He had only one shoe on, and the other one we found it inside the house. But yet he says, I didn't do nothing. All the evidence pointed towards him, and he wound up in prison. But you see, that's how this religion is. It doesn't matter about the evidence. They could care less about what else the Bible says. As long as they fool people with only this little verse that says, Peter, you are the rock, that's all they care about. But God left us much evidence. But you see, we also see that he says, I am the rose of Sharon. The rose of Sharon, beloved, is something that you don't find anywhere else. You don't see it. You find the word rose, but it usually has to do with rising up. But the word rose is only two times in the Bible when it refers to the flower. But Jesus says, here I am the rose. And many times you see him describing himself, I am the door. I am that bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the shepherd. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Over and over he says, I am, I am. He even told the religious people of his days, he said, before Abraham was, I am. When they asked Moses, or when Moses said, what shall I tell thy people? If they ask me for your name, what shall I tell them? And he says, tell them, I am. Amen. That's because he is. It isn't he was, he is. I am. Only he can brag about himself. You can't brag about yourself. We would be called all kinds of things. We will be called vain. We will be called vainglorious. We don't brag about ourselves, but Jesus can do it because he's the only one that can. He says, I am. And he says, I am the Rose of Sharon. I looked it up on the computer, on the internet. I find a lot of information on the internet, and I looked it up. Because I made some calls, and I went to HEB, and I asked where they were selling roses yesterday. Of course, you know many millions of roses probably were sold and given because it was Valentine's Day. And I asked a lady at HEB that was selling roses, I said, do you have the Rose of Sharon? And she turned around and told the other lady, do we have the Rose of Cherry? And I said, no, Sharon. They never heard of it. But anyway, I looked it up on the internet, and the Rose of Sharon, it is the real thing. And I found seven things about the Rose of Sharon. Matter of fact, I fell in love with the Rose of Sharon. I saw it on the internet. I saw what it looks like. And I said, man, I'm going to order some of these. Wow. These are beautiful things. No wonder the Lord said, I am the Rose of Sharon. He didn't say, I'm just a rose. I'm the Rose of Sharon. And yeah, I looked it up, and first of all, there's seven things that I noted that were very prominent. And of course, that's not unusual. Usually, it's always seven with the Lord. That's his number. But you see, the first thing that I would like to point out to you is the origination, where it comes. It comes from Palestine. That's where it originated. It was in a valley, and of course, that's where the Lord came. He came to Palestine. That's where he was born. Of course, he comes from heaven. He is God Almighty, but that's where he originates. And that's where the Rose of Sharon originates. The second thing I found out about the Rose of Sharon is that it grows freely. You see, nobody planted it. This was planted by God. And of course, that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He gives you free life, eternal life. And it's a gift of God. It's free. And of course, the second thing that I thought was so amazing was that it's adaptable to any soil. Where I live, I've got nothing but sand. But this thing says it's adaptable to any soil. Where they sell them is different places in different states. People have made big businesses, and they consider this the most beautiful rose that they've ever seen. And it says it's adaptable to any soil. They highly recommend it. And then I saw the fourth thing. It grows from 8 to 15 feet. It's a tree. I've never seen a rose that comes out of a tree. I've always seen little shrubs, little bitty things, and they grow through the vines, and you wrap them around here and there, and they grow a little bit, but I've never seen them that tall. But I was so amazed that it grows so tall, and of course, the Lord will grow on you. If you would just accept Jesus as your Lord, I know at first you'll think that you're too big, that you're too strong and what have you. After a while, beloved, you'll find out that God is bigger than you. Amen. He's stronger than you. And he'll overwhelm you. He will take over your life. Or he should take over your life. But the fifth thing that I noticed, it comes in seven different types. And I said, isn't that amazing that God, the creator of heaven and earth, he says, I am the Rose of Sharon, and it comes in seven different colors. Or in seven different species. And and of course, the ones that they showed me on the internet, I checked a whole bunch of them, but they showed me the seven most desirable, the ones that everybody likes, is seven different types, seven different colors. And it comes in a variety of colors. I thought that was so amazing because, you know, the Lord, he doesn't really care about your color. Amen. He doesn't care whether you're white or black or in between. You know, and that's exactly how he comes. But you know, the thing is, I forgot to say about that it's adaptable to any soil. And that's exactly what we have in our hearts. The Bible says to plow your fallow ground. The Bible uses the Lord uses the sower that went out to sow and to plant the seed. And it fell in different types of grounds. What kind of ground do you have this morning? The Lord Jesus would like to plant his seed in your heart. But sometimes people are just, it's too hard for them. They just don't want to soften their heart. They don't want to plow their heart. They want to have that ground real stony, real hard. They don't want the Lord to grow in their heart. But this is what he's talking about. It's adaptable to any soil. So maybe you're here this morning and you feel like your heart is too hard. You've gone through too many troubles. You feel like nobody really loves you. But the Lord wants to plant His seed in your heart. He wants to grow in your heart. And this is what the Rose of Sharon represents. It also comes in many colors. And it's amazing that when I read that it also comes in white, I knew it would come in white, because that's the color of purity. But it's just not any white, the way they describe the Rose of Sharon. The white color is not just white. They describe it as a glaring, bright white. Isn't that amazing that it would not be just white? It is a glaring, bright white. Isn't that what the Lord said? He is pure. He is pure as the snow. When you're out and when it snows, and it doesn't snow here that often, but when it snows, anything that's white outside is nothing compared to that snow. That snow just makes everything dark. And it just is so bright and shiny, especially when the sun begins to hit. That's exactly how this Rose of Sharon is. It is so white. But it comes in different colors. I will describe the last color for you before I finish. But you know also the seventh thing that I saw on this was the fragrance. It's also known as the sweet-smelling hibiscus. Sweet-smelling. You know, there's a place I found in Bulgaria that also has a valley of roses. And it says that if anybody walks through that valley, you will smell like roses for days. But you know, that's exactly what the Lord is. He is a sweet fragrance. For some people, He's not. They haven't tasted the Lord. But you know, even here in the Song of Solomon on the verse 3, he says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Some of you have not tasted the Lord. You have not tasted how sweet he is. Mm-hmm. You don't read his word. You don't care about his word. He is the Rose of Sharon. He wants to be loved. He wants you to see His beauty. You know, it's not that often that I preach on something like this. Usually it's you need to get saved or you'll go to hell, and that's mostly our messages, especially mine. And I thought I would never preach something like this. This is about love. But you know, the thing is that's what the Lord wants us to compare Himself. He wants us to believe and to see that He is beauty. That we need to look at Him as the best there is. Amen. There's nothing better than Him. Amen. How sweet are thy words to my taste, says the psalmist. I wonder how many of you really love His word. Is the word of God sweet to your taste? Some of you probably don't read it. You could care less. But you know, if you would just read it, if you would accept Jesus as your Lord, and then read His word, you will find out that it is sweet to read His word. Amen. It is sweet to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you ever heard the comment, I came out smelling like a rose? I've said it many times, because I've been in so much trouble. I've been in trouble in you know, I'll tell the story all the time that I had a malfunction on my parachute. I came out smelling like a rose. People say you did real good, even though out of the whole area that I was jumping in, once I open up my reserve, you can't control it. It's a small little parachute, only 24 foot in diameter. And out of the whole area to land on, I wind up landing in the pavement, the runway, on cement. But I, you know, as hard as I hit like if I had dropped down from that roof, I hit extremely hard. But I wind up with just a little scratch on my face. And I said, man, I came out smelling like a rose. And that's the way it's been, my life has been. Ever since I was born, I've been trouble. Ever since my mama had me, I was trouble. She had me, I'm sure she was crying and with tears. Long time ago, 1945, I don't think they gave him any kind of painkillers. I was troubled all the time. Even when they didn't know where to leave me, I was rumbling around. They had me with these people and then with those. They didn't know what to do. I've been troubled all my life. Even when I was in high school, I was living with my uncles and aunts. Because my mom and dad had separated and gone different ways, and I didn't know which way to go. I remember hearing my uncle and aunt discussing me. They didn't know I had heard them. But I heard them saying, I don't want him here no more. I was troubled. When I joined the army, I was upset. I was mad. I didn't love nobody. I didn't want to ever come back. I put in to go to Germany at that time. The Vietnam War hadn't started. I just wanted to go away. I was troubled. I didn't want nobody. I didn't like nobody. I was mad. But you know, I'm so glad. At the age of 36, the Lord called me and said, you know, son, I love you. Amen. I died for you. Amen. I want to be your dad. Amen. From there on, beloved, now I can say, I came out smelling like a rose. You see, because now Jesus is my Lord. Amen. He is my rose. But you know, when I came out of the army, I had some money and I went and bought me, I thought I had a lot of money, I had $1,000 I had saved. And I went and bought me a brand new 19 throw it away Ford. I paid $300 cash for that little car. But it would take me everywhere I wanted to go. And I went to a dance and I met the most beautiful girl I had ever seen. That was my wife. You know, I went home and I told my aunts, I was living with my aunts at that time, and I said, you know, I met the most beautiful girl at the dance hall. I've never seen anybody more pretty. Oh, I described her. She has the jet black hair. Her smile is so beautiful. Her eyes, they just glitter. Beautiful lips. Oh, she's gorgeous. I've never seen anybody this beautiful. 2 weeks later, I finally got in touch with her again because I kept calling the wrong number. But anyway, 2 weeks later, I got in touch with her. See, she told me, I live in Pleasanton, and I thought it was Pleasanton Street. It was Pleasanton, Texas. Sometimes we still don't communicate too well. But I went to go pay her a visit, and before I left, I called her up, and she said, hey, there's a dance over here in Poteet. You want to go to it? I said, yeah, I'd love to. I'll go pick you up. And I told my aunts, I'm going to go see that beautiful girl. And I said, I'm going to be in Poteet. Well, I had been there at that dance for a few hours, and all my aunts show up. You know why? Because I had told them she's very beautiful. They wanted to prove. They wanted to see, is it really true? Is she really that beautiful? And then, of course, they told me, yeah, she is pretty. She's beautiful. But you know, beloved, my point is this, that they wanted to see her because I had mentioned how beautiful she was. And when we mention how beautiful the Lord is, you know what will happen? People will want to know the Lord. They will want to see, what are you talking about? The Lord wants to be beautiful in your eyes. He wants to be the apple of your eyes. That's why He says, I'm the rose of Sharon. The rose of Sharon is considered, as I was reading, the most beautiful rose in the world. There's nothing more beautiful than the rose of Sharon. Isn't that a wonder or an amazement that God would say, I am the rose of Sharon. Not just any rose. I am the rose of Sharon. But you know, that's what we should do. It conveys love. It conveys that passion. Isn't it the goodness of God that leadeth you to repentance? Because Jesus Christ died for you. He wants to be beautiful in your eyes. But you know, our lives, I was just thinking, the reason I chose this message on the rose was because of Bill Hutchinson and Rita, that they lost their son. And I just thought about how our lives is just like a rose. Is you know, it begins to grow, and then the life of the rose, it doesn't last too long. It gets cut. And many times it gets cut in different stages. Sometimes before it begins to bloom, it gets cut. And the gardener who planted it, who raised it, has no clue where that rose is going to go. That's just the way our lives are. We don't have no clue where we're going to wind up. And we see that the rose sometimes will wind up decorating the wedding halls, the wedding chapels. Some of the roses will be given to a wife, maybe to rekindle that love, or just to tell that wife, I love you very much. I just seen my wife 12 roses on the 20th of January. That was our 36th wedding anniversary. We didn't announce it, but they asked me, what do you want? I said, I want the most beautiful ones and make them an assortment of different colors. And of course, they came in. They were still, they hadn't really opened up. And as the days went by, they began to open up so beautiful. But the thing is, we had to throw them. They don't last too long. That's the same way with your life. Some of those roses are cut, and some of them, they have no clue where they're going to go. Some wind up in hospitals. Some wind up on top of a funeral casket. At that funeral yesterday, there were some beautiful roses on that casket. And you know, I was thinking of Hutchinson. He was still young. He was only 39 years old. It seems to me like he was one of those roses that had been cut before he had a chance to bloom. I feel like I didn't bloom until, you know, just recently. But the thing is, that's our lives. And yet some of them, some kids don't last too long. They're cut at a very early stage. But you know, that is the rose of Sharon. I want to tell you about that color that I found that I thought was so unique. The last color that I saw on the Rose of Sharon, it was a white rose. Sparkling, glaring white rose. And right through the middle, it looked like a spear had gone through it. It stuck out. I thought it was so unique. And right around that spear, It had splashes of red all around it. And it looked like a wound coming out of a pure body. And I said, isn't that amazing? That's what happened to my Lord. He was pure. He had no sin. And you know, the thing is that he was also pierced. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. But you know, my friend, the red on the roses, and most of them are red, and that's the one that we send to loved ones, to our wives, to our moms, to on weddings, at hospitals. Is the red is what sparks that passion of love. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He says, I am the rose. He wants to spark that love that you left. He says that he wants you to, you've left your first love, and he says, I'm the rose of Sharon. He sends you that bouquet of roses. He wants you to say, I love you, Lord. Amen. He wants to rekindle the love with you. He wants to reestablish that relationship that you left behind. But you know, it also tells me of something very important. That red rose, also the red represents the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, that cleanses us from all sin. Yes. It is the blood that was shed at the cross. He did it to save your soul. You know, I was thinking how why the Lord had to go through all that suffering, why he had to be crucified. Could he not have just died of a heart attack? Or why not just inject himself with poison and just die after, he was pure. He could have done it so many ways, but he did it in a way to inspire you so that you would know, this is how much I love you. So how else would you know how much he loved you? If he would just tell you, but he wouldn't prove it to you, how would we know unless he would go and be lifted up on that cross? He said, just like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him would have everlasting life. And that's why the Lord Jesus was lifted up, so that he would draw men unto him, so that you would know the sacrifice that he had made. So that you would know that his blood is what cleanses you from all sin. That's why that rose is red. To represent the blood that he shed for you. It also comes in white. To represent that he was pure. He never sinned. He was sinless. And yet he came in and he died in your place to show you that he loved you. And of course that fragrance that comes from that rose, he wants you to smell like him. He wants you to be able to where people can see you and know he's been with the roses. He's been with the Lord. He smells like the Lord Jesus. He represents the Lord Jesus. And that's what the Lord wants you to do, beloved. He died in your place. And he's not telling you, here, I'm the rose of Sharon, just so that you can marvel, oh, what a beautiful rose. He's telling you, I'm the rose of Sharon, so you can look at him and say, how beautiful, my Lord. How beautiful he is. He died in your place. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted in the Lord, it's real simple. And on the other hand, it's also very hard. All you have to do is repent of your sins. That's what's so hard, because that's what you have to do. You have to repent of your sins. And then put your faith and trust in Jesus. And many people say, I believe in the Lord. But you won't repent of your sins. And it's like that, both sides of the same coin. You need to repent and you need to believe. And for those of you who are having problems with your wife, maybe you ought to go and buy some of those leftover roses that are still out there. Tell her how much you love her.
Amen.
Why don't you rekindle your love again? But the most important thing, rekindle your love with the Lord. Amen. He is the rose of Sharon. Amen. Why don't we stand up and sing 243? We'll close it out.